Hello. I think everybody knows I'm Jennifer. Okay, good. When Katie asked me to say a few words as to why I give, I started to think about how much a why question is like an onion. It has many layers, and each is true, yet only part of the whole. I also find that that pesky why question inevitably keeps coming like layers of an onion, and they always tend to be followed by a which means question. So my first response to why I give is I am responsible, which means I recognize and value all that I receive from this church, and I actively respond to support those efforts. Why? I describe our church as a DIY church, a do-it-yourself church. There is no other source of income or revenue besides what is given by the members. As the pledge booklet says, our church, quote unquote, is entirely supported by pledges from members and friends. And, another quote, over 90% of the church budget comes from pledges. So, our annual budget next year is $177,500, with a pledges goal of $169,756, which averages to $1,327 per member to make that budget happen. There is no magic money. I was going to say elf, but now I'm going to say leprechaun. So there's no magic money leprechaun in the wings or a secret granting agency waiting to fill in the gaps. It's just us. So what does that mean? Ray and I are going to adjust our household budget to give as best as we can to meet or exceed that mark so that this church can operate. Why? So we can continue to enjoy the benefits of this church that so enrich our lives. I love the shared worship and reflection, the theology building, the singing, the meditation group, you know who you are, the social justice work, the education and the community building. I especially love that we have a place that welcomes and holds our joys and sorrows with us. Which means my individual action of pledging will join with yours to make sure these treasured activities continue. I also know from the experiences I've had in these few years with the church that if I give what I can, there will always be others that meet me there, and somehow together we meet that need, whatever it may be. I've seen this happen with potlucks. I've seen it happen with fundraising efforts like those cookie sales. I've seen it with the Sea Level Rise event. I did a little bit, but there was so much more added that made it happen. And then with this Canvas campaign, I'm the chair, but I am such a novice and a beginner. I know nothing, really, and it's everybody else's efforts, little by little, contributing to make this happen. And like the amazing luncheon last Sunday, many thanks to Chris and Melody Appleton and for all of the many people who gave big and little to make it so successful, beautiful, and delicious. It is each of us, yes, giving as best we can, but as I have experienced what I call loaves and fishes magic of the all of us. So collectively combining what we each have to offer to successfully meet a need. So in short, I give because I believe in the importance of individual responsibility to support that which I value, and I believe in the power of our collective action to meet the need. Thank you.
So we call this Celebration Sunday, this day that we traditionally hold on the cusp of spring. 19th century Unitarian minister Henry Whitney Bellows explains the caretaking we do in the name of stewardship. He said, "We have a great deal more obligation to the visible than to the invisible church." The invisible church takes due care of itself and of us. The visible church is committed to our hands. The visible church is our charge because of the two, it alone is within our voluntary reach. So today you see flying here and outside the door when you came in these many colorful cotton-colored squares strung together in a row, Tibetan prayer flags. I've talked about them before, maybe you remember. You might remember that they are most often found along the mountain ridges in the Himalayas. They are an ancient symbol in existence for thousands of years. They are used to bless the mountainside or the homes of the areas they drape. You might have seen them draped across porches or strewn between trees, as they are utilized by any number of spiritually engaged people. So if you look closely, printed on these flags are sutras, the Buddhist scriptures, promoting peace, compassion, strength, and wisdom. The wind then, when, like for example, if you look at the ones outside there by the front door when you came in, the wind blows this benevolence through the pervading space. And you can just sort of, on a day like today where they're just casually blowing, almost feel it. I love that feeling, that intention, that trust in their kind influence, blowing benevolence. I love the threadbare beauty of their presence when you see so many of them. They've been hanging for quite a while. The proof that shows me that they are in it for the long haul. You've no doubt heard me go on about our autumn minister's retreat in that place of beauty I love, high in the Sonoma County Redwoods. It's the oldest retreat center in California, and it makes its arts and craft style home right outside of Occidental. So arriving there after climbing up the steep hillside, and literally that's what it is. If a car comes the other way, somebody has to back up to let the other one go past, lest the outside car fall off the hill. But once you get to the top and you figure out how to park your car, there's the main doorway heading in, and right off to the side, a square deck balcony that have these Tibetan prayer flags gathering and flying there, where they've flown, obviously, for years, as long as I can remember. So as I come for calm there, or even simply walk by them, I'm assured that simply in their humble existence, they promote the serenity and grace of the place. An inferred message. They instill in me a sense of peace and a tacit invitation as to the things that are the importance of the things that are worth our time. The gentlest persuasion to leave behind the obsession with consumption, with petty grievances. I know that's why so many of us come to church each Sunday. It's to be reminded of that highest self. I guess we can wave to them, huh? There they go. We so easily get drawn away from that highest self as the world spreads in front of us a table full of competing delights, whether they be entertainment or rest, to-do lists left over from a bursting week full of demands. We flit from here to there looking for it, for that elusive thing that aids in filling the what I call the God-shaped hole. But landing here is where we can create each other, where we can smooth the peg, where we can polish our bruised and broken souls. We settle ourselves to begin to give to each other and the world. It moves us toward transformation. I see dedication to the seemingly mundane aspects of the institutional church. It's why we take good care in our stewardship, why we seem to get more out of a mission-focused task than one without any connected meaning. So, yes, this congregation is in the midst of big change and discernment. It is a time that calls for wisdom and strength, that calls for something greater than any of us can garner on our own, even when we are gathered together. Whether you call it spirit of life, whether you call it the welcome table, the ground of all being, or any personal name for God, it is about more than any of us here right now. May there be room to call upon that source, found sometimes in stillness, when we would seek the sense of peace and calm that can be found amidst any chaos, even among and between all of the busyness, the fear, the sometimes overwhelming feelings of despair that threaten the precious moments of our lives. May you find in those moments something akin to serenity, a place of hope. May you feel the source of goodness that shows to all the place of assurance, the visions of truth, the acts of love. May you find in this open-hearted faith the strength to walk through the difficulties knowing you are not alone. I invite you to reach out of your own personal pain, to ask for help when needed, and through doing so, to come to know that you will receive ever more gifts, maybe just like ever more cookies, something like that, than you could have ever possibly imagined. Modern teacher and mentor Parker Palmer uses the qualities of the earth to help us see things on a more grand scale. He says, "Nature normally takes us through a reliable cycle of scarcity and abundance, in which times of deprivation foreshadow an eventual return to bountiful fields. This fact of nature is in sharp contrast to human nature, which seems to regard perpetual scarcity as the law of life. Daily I am astonished at how readily I believe that something I need is in short supply. If I hoard possessions, it is because I believe that there are not enough to go around. If I struggle with others over power, it is because I believe that power is limited. If I become jealous in relationships, it is because I believe that when you get too much love, I will be shortchanged. The irony, often tragic, is that by embracing the scarcity assumption, we create the very scarcities we fear. There is a bounty of riches here to be lavished with each other and to those yet to ring the doorbell. We want to continue that planting, that baking. You know, I've heard some of my friends put it. They say, ours is a saving faith. Now, this may not be the typical way your grandmother might think of when she evaluates what it means to be a saving faith. That is, unless your grandmother was a Unitarian or a Universalist. But here, we save lives. We save lives when people discover a place where they can be truly authentic in their quest for creating meaning in their lives, for building relationships with those of different generations or backgrounds. We save lives when we work for justice and fully welcome people who, simply because of their sexual orientation, are still not accepted fully in many places in the world. And why does Star King Church need to be in the business of saving lives? In the co-creation of this community, there exists an intentionality. It has been spoken about by religious leaders and seekers as we remind ourselves of its importance. Howard Thurman said, "The moving finger of God in human history points ever in the same direction. There must be community." My vision for you as you go from here is that you come to more fully represent this multicultural, multiracial community in which we live here in the Bay Area, where there exists so many looking to find a faith just like this one. That you more fully embrace all ages and ways of being in the world. That you come to more wholly serve this community that needs the gifts this liberal religious faith has to offer. These things that already exist here, but can be expanded upon, that can be lifted up, that can be brought to the world in our ever-rippling circles. My hope is that you share with each other what is most precious to you, whether that is the way you see God or the values you hold dear, that you not feel afraid in expressing your differences with each other, because this is what makes this place a place worth being, that very thing. My vision for you is that you come to give freely to this liberal religious community because it continues to be a place to ground this good practice, this practice of becoming whole. My vision for you is that you continue to share the importance of this place with others, even though you haven't yet mastered your elevator speech. Even though you haven't. Instead, maybe more importantly, may you speak from the heart and tell others how this place has changed your life, has nurtured you in tough times, has moved you past your comfort zone to come to understand some things more differently, with more nuance and appreciation of life. My vision for you is that this place that will this be a place that will continue to celebrate your life passages from birth to coming of age to bridging to the connecting of two lives to aging with grace to memorializing life lived well and thoroughly. You know, I know that you might have a different vision for this community than I do, and that's as it should be. This community belongs to you, and it operates out of democratic process so that you choose the leaders, you make the decisions, you ultimately decide what your vision is for the future of this place. And today I can speak with all honesty. I'm in a special position this year. I can speak to you as an outsider. The stewardship is yours. I won't benefit other than to see you thrive from afar. I hope you've been thinking about how you can make this church more vibrant with the gifts of your money. It might seem like it's a budget full of salaries, but that piece of the pie is in truth the programs and ministries that infuse the congregation with worship, with music, with faith formation, with justice seeking, and with learning. It starts right here today. Really, today. This day where we celebrate what is important to us here, where the folks present today and those who are a part of us now, this place, whether they are members or friends or even brand new through the door, consider how this church wants to be in the future, determines the resources it needs, and can dedicate itself to living out the vision of a place that is welcoming to all, that stands on the side of love, where revelation is always unfolding, and that loves the hell out of the world in the universalist side of our tradition. What a great time to be part of Star King Unitarian Universalist Church. What a time to make Star King Unitarian Universalist Church even more for all that is our life. Celebrate. May it be so. Amen. And blessed be.